Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I am really excited about sharing about Fatherless, this book written by Dr. James Dobson. Dr. James Dobson is the one that founded Focus on the Family. This generation might not even know who that is, but for the longest time, he carried the torch for the family, for America, when the family was falling apart. And, you know, you had the 60s was happening, the 70s was happening. He began to write books and about parenting and God's way of doing things, and had a voice every single day on the radio that was so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just stepped down and kind of turned that over to others, mm-hmm. you know, and it's kind of never the same. You know, it's good,
yeah.
but it's sort of like, okay, cool, you know, this right. is for the next generation. And but they wrote this book. It's called Fatherless. And I think the three this is a trilogy. The first one's Fatherless. I think the next one is Childless. And the last one is Godless.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing? It starts with the fathers.
Sure does.
And, I mean, we really have participated in that prophetic word, and we look forward to be able to talk to you about that. And people that have children in this book, he's talking about it, they call them birthers. You know, you're just weighing on the tax load, having more children, not realizing they're the ones that pay taxes. It's the people, human beings. We'll talk about that. Instead of killing people, they call it transitioning. Transitioning.
And
they got a word for everything. Oh, no. You're transitioning. And this is the most heroic thing for you to do because it allows for more food for more people. And you use less resources, and you really are a strain. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are hitting 40,
right?
And so we'll be talking about that. Believe it or not, this is their mindset. And since the day the birth of Jesus, you know, remember, Satan immediately went trying to kill every child around, as many human means as possible, especially children, though, because one of them is going to be Jesus. But also, when Moses was born, the very same thing. And My throat's a little husky today because it's humid here.
Yes.
But soon, maybe not. And so it was Moses. And Moses was born. And, you know, they knew that, hey, they've got to find this Moses. And you got to snuff him out because he's going to deliver all these people who are making me money and serving me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to deliver the Israelites. And so they went and started killing babies everywhere. Well, what they're doing now, it's happening what? John, how many abortions has happened since 1973 in America? 40 million? I think 40 million. 40 million children have been killed in the womb. And in the context of that, it's cranking up to a new level now. Now that we're okay, men's mindsets are saying that's not bad to take a child out before they can speak their first word.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could speak their first word, they would say, what are you doing?
Right.
My whole life's ahead of me here. You don't even know me yet.
Right.
You don't even know how I'm going to be. You don't even know if I'm going to be trouble to you. I might help you when you get old. I might be there for you, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the enemy just really wanting to snuff out, you know, the next generation. But now they're talking about self-assisted suicides and you know, does this person really, I mean, and why they're justifying now taking children in the womb is like, you know, they might have a defect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Their hand might not operate right.
Right.
Or they're, you know, or they might have a limp.
Right.
Or they could be short. No, I'm missing one. Obviously, John's not hearing us. He's getting no feedback right now. Can't hear anything. Right. You can see all kinds of things about him.
I know, man.
You can see him, but he can't hear us. Did I ever tell you about the one with John? And, you know, DNA, Down syndrome, even now sex selection they're talking about. And they're deciding on what kind of child they want and, like, designer drugs, and they're having designer children. And it's all a mindset to destroy the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And they take it to the next level in this fiction, but facts. They're all statistical, backed-up, resourced facts in the back of the book. And Fatherless by Dr. James Dobson. And they're just going to the next level and say, well, why don't we just transition them? And they're presenting it as a heroic thing, that, hey, you're doing society a favor. You're doing your family a favor because you are a burden. I mean, look at your hand. I mean, you know, right? You know, look at your, well, you're, you know, look at your, you know, whatever, and they just point out all of our little things. Like, like all of us don't have little things, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I can't wait to be, you know, share that with you, because that's our heart. I really believe that God is going to begin to really just explode the revelation of Him as our Father. And that's what people are wanting. They're wanting God. And it's amazing, too, how many people who just refuse to father. I mean, they just refuse to father. They'll do a form of fathering, but when it comes time to be a father, they kind of adjust all that and just think, you know, I could do this, but not that. And it's like, well, no, father is just a father. I'm a, you know what I'm saying? Just a father. And throughout everything. And so we'll be talking about that today. If you hadn't got it yet, you need to get Dr. Dobson's new book called Fatherless. It is a part of a trilogy. This is the first one, the second two. The next one's going to be Childless, and the one after that is going to be Godless. And if we don't stop this, if things don't turn, this is what's going to be happening. This is our progression. And in Japan right now, as a matter of fact, they're trying to get Japanese to have children. They're just trying to get them to have children. You know, these little little things they had that you had to, it was an electronic thing, you had to feed it so many times a day, and it was like a pet animal, but it was a digital thing. It was like a little small thing, and the kids got really addicted to.
Oh yeah, I forgot what they were called.
Time to feed your pet or something.
Yeah,
but it was just like a little small key ring type thing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But people just were just driven by, okay, it's time, I got to feed my thing.
Right, right.
But then they also came out of Japan was these pigs that feel just like pigs. You know, that they're you know, like the flesh, and they're, you know, needing to be taken care of. And And what they're all trying to do with these things, they're trying to actually create the desire inside, you know, some of the population of Japan who's choosing not to have children, to say, you know, kick in that parental instinct inside of them. And because, you know, if you have a child, that's what it's like. He's hungry again. He needs changing.
His diaper stinks.
He wants more. He wants more money again. You know,
right.
These different things. And it's like, but, you know, if you're used to living for yourself and being narcissistic and that type of thing, which I think there's a few of that situations in America, that you're just shocked when you find out this child is wanting something from you all the time. And you can say it's about you, but if you got a child, even though they might not be able to talk, it will become all about the child.
Oh yeah.
Because you're going to have to be there. And you see a lot of people that get in abusive situations with their children, because they're demanding silence. They're demanding, you know, quietness, that they want my time. And it's like, hey, that's another human being.
Right.
You gotta be. You gotta parent that child. And the most selfless thing that you could do is to be a parent to your child or someone else's child through adoption, or be a spiritual parent. You know, that where many parents weren't able to parent or someone not to be parented, that you can believe God to say, you know what, I'm gonna be that in somebody's life. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna want better things for them than I had in my own life. I'm going to do everything I can to empower them to be successful and fruitful and faithful and have a good life and to produce a healthy next generation. And so I believe that in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that God is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And I do believe there's an ultimatum too, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And I think the trembling that we're hearing right now is motivation. God has a way of motivating us to say, oh, you know, hey, I'm thinking about turning my heart. Why? A meteorite hit me in the head last night.
Wow.
Yeah, I was listening to CBN News this morning, and Pat Robinson wrote a book on meteor. You know, that the only way these certain things can happen that God's talking about in these last days, it has to be a meteor. It just has to be a meteor that hits the earth. Meteorite. And he says, thinking about republishing the book, because now they just defunded, with NASA,
right?
Anything about tracing or tracking meteors.
Wow.
Yeah, and they just in at that point, you know, we have no hope, because we have to know about it decades in advance that it's going to be coming through our atmosphere. And so they asked the question in a panel in D.C. yesterday, I believe it was, and they were asking, I think the head of NASA says, well, then what if we have a meteorite coming towards Earth, like we know it's coming in about 3 weeks, what do we do? And this is the guy that heads it up. He goes, we pray.
I heard that.
We pray. He says, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. You know, I can't tell you, only God can tell you what's going fully on, but he lets us know sometimes in part, we prophesy in part. But I do know just recently God has shown us stones and boulders coming from the sky. Mm-hmm. And to me that means rocks. Mm-hmm. And the meteorite is a rock coming. Mm-hmm. And that would be something, wouldn't it? But it yeah. causes all men's hearts to fail because of fear. It causes people to cry out and be in despair. And it doesn't take much. I mean, it doesn't take much to shake human nature. We're so God is so loving and kind because he could just move his finger. You know, we're like, oh, life is over as we know it.
Right.
And you know, maybe that's something that's going to be happening. He says, or else I'll smite the earth with the curse. So listen, it's time to be mothers. It's time to be fathers. It's time to be family. It's time to pick up the torch of the family and say, you know what? We're going to be family and play your role in the family. Do what you're supposed to do. Trust God that he would grace you. And he tells us how to do it in his word and hope and pray that the others that are in your family are going to operate like that. At least they have something to reject. Right. At least they know what they've rejected. So the day that they do repent, they can come back to normalcy. If you throw your hands up and go, well, they're not going to listen anyway, mm-hmm. and you don't continue on being a father, they won't even, you know, you won't even be on their grid if they repent. And they might not know what repentance looks like because you gave up and you said, well, I'm not going to parent them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm going to encourage you, you know, realize that the adversary is after family, after fathers, after mothers, the whole concept of family. And you'll have to fight to have family. I mean, you'll have to fight to have family, but it's called a fight of faith. It's actually worth it. And even if you don't get what you felt like was supposed to happen, when you stand before the throne of God, he's going to go, wow, you fought for what was right. You fought the good fight of faith. You stood for righteousness with mm-hmm. your family. You stood for, mm-hmm. and this is what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15-17, he says, we have 10,000 teachers, you know, and I just got to be honest with you. If I hear one more teaching mm-hmm. without yeah. any fathering, it's like, come on, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
We have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. And then he says, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. And then he says, imitate me. And so we have to not only just to begin to be the father, but we have to live a life as a spiritual father, spiritual mother that people can imitate. Because our biggest dilemma quite often is, and a frustration, is when our children act like us.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. His eyes roll up, you know. You know, it's like, where did you learn that? Your dad. All and right. So, or you, Pat. You see? No. Luckily, you know, he walks on water.
They all wear same shirts. They all, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, the Saints. No west of the Mississippi jokes right now. And so it is time. This is going to be, it's the best thing you can do to fight this darkness and this evilness and the craziness that's coming out of the response of the people in America, out of D.C., is to just live right before God.
Hmm.
Just live a life of light. Read God's word, abide with him, let him lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, empowering you by his spirit, amazing you by his grace, and watch. Just do that. Don't be telling everybody else what to do. Don't criticize or judge everybody. Walk it out yourself. You'll be more humble when you do it. You'll realize, oh my goodness, that's not that easy. Because you need to say, imitate me. You need to live a life that says, and when they do, you need to say, you know, thank God, you know, that it was worth the fight. And so we have to begin to fight for family. And the first family you fight for is your own. You know, begin to live right before God in your own household. Make right choices. Make right media choices. Listen, we'll be talking soon about hand sins, foot sins, and eye sins. But the biggest sin today is the eye and the heart sin. The enemy just skipped them all and just went straight into the eye. And so many people fool themselves by thinking it doesn't matter what goes in my eye as long as my hand and foot don't do it.
That's right.
And the whole thing is, he says, it's the very same thing. And he even says, the end of this thing, if you don't repent, is where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
And so living a right life, you know, right choices, praying, your kids see you pray. Ask God to bless your food. Let them know what God has done in your family and credit him for all the things he's done. And don't let anybody forget. Even if they get tired of hearing you say, oh, you know, here you go again. Teach, 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 talk, talk, talk. They called Jesus a teacher.
Hmm.
They called him a teacher. That's a compliment. Mm-hmm. That's a compliment. And when you're holding the line and people are wanting to rebel against the line, they're not going to be happy with you. I mean, but if you let go of it, they won't have to rebel. You would have rebelled for them. You know, you got to hold that line. And so this book that we're going to be talking about Fatherless, I think it's just, it is, and I really believe it's frustration when he quit, when he stepped out of his seat, Dr. James Dobson stepped down for Focus on the Family. And this is the frustration of, he was just so frustrated with the direction of America's, because he, you know, he fought so hard to mm-hmm. help us get sanity back in marriage and family. And it was just real cool how he did it. And we hope in some way, you know, we can help that be to the next generation, you know, having those conversations about family. So family's worth fighting for. It is a fatherless generation, but the natural fathers will come back in their place when the spiritual fathers raise up and the spiritual children acknowledge and honor the fathers that are in your family. And it's not just being a father. The father actually has to be honored. That role has to be put in that order. And then God begins to move in that. God, he loves honor and he moves in honor. And I think the most dishonored person and role in America right now is a father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. But you know, if you do what's right, if you do what's right as a father, in the long run, you'll stand out. Those you father, I mean, they'll realize the difference in the long runs. The long run, the shooting stars that got the all the little party going on, all the new stuff going on, they're not going to be around.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to be around. They're not committed. A father and a mother is committed to their family. I mean, it's just a given. They're always just trying to figure out how to better father, how to better mother. But a teacher, as soon as it's like a hireling. As soon as the wolf comes, as soon as the danger comes, as soon as the next promotion comes, the next pay package comes, the next job opportunity comes, they're going to get a new word.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
going to get a new word, and it's just not, they're not going to be there. They're just not going to be there. But in regards to being a father and a mother, no matter where you are geographically, you know, it's like, my mother is my mother no matter where I go. My father is my father no matter where I go, because that's what family's about. It's just awesome. Sometimes you're even closer when you're further apart. So we're going to be talking about that today. Obviously, that's just what God's got on my heart to talk about that, and I'm excited about it. Yeah, I wanted to be able to talk about Dr. Dobson's book, Fatherless. It is a first part of a trilogy of, first one is Fatherless, second one is Childless, and the third one is Godless. And it's what we call it, a faction book. You know, it's taken all the facts and backed up stats,
mm-hmm.
and it's using fictorial characters, you know, fiction, to be able to kind of write it out, which really kind of gives you a dimension. In the very beginning, he's going like, well, you know, listen, if this sounds like you, it's not you. We made these characters up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're reading, oh, my goodness, this is so accurate. And what's interesting about it is, and you got to get the book. It's called Fatherless. You can get it at Amazon.com, or you can go to the VFN Torch right now, VFNTV.com, and you'll see it posted on the Torch and a link to be able to purchase the book. It's kind of based on money. Yeah, money, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, who gets it, who doesn't get it, how it's dispersed, how it's dispersed. He's got more than me, she's got less than me, I'm the type of thing, or you're sucking my resources, you know, it's all that. It's that whole, anyway. So it's kind of based on the premise that the government sought new ways to be able to balance the budget. And euthanasia was one of the ways, you know, taking the elderly and just helping them off into, or, you know, assisted suicide and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Or killing, in the way to say it, people. But they refer to it as transitioning them.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like semantics. Don't tell me words don't mean something. Somebody says, I'm getting a transition package. What does that mean? It means you're going to get fired. Yes, you're going to get fired, you know. What a great way to say you're fired, right? We're going to give you a transition package. What's that? A sign pointing to the door, sir.
Right. Or instead of calling somebody a liar.
You're transitioning from in here to out there.
Right.
This doorway is going to help you to do that. Watch.
And the security guard is going to keep you from coming back in here. So you'll be fully transitioned out there. And he says, well, does that mean I can't be by your car when you go out there? No, anyway. So, and so there's these parents that had this child that they found out had a missing chromosome or something. And they loved the child. But then all of this media and things that were going on began to feed into their minds and hearts. You know, maybe our child's not right. Maybe our child needs to be fixed or something. You know, mm-hmm. She's not. And so the wife went to go seek the pastor to get counseling with the pastor. And the father was actually tied into the political sphere and was like a writer, a speech writer or something of that nature. And he was going to have her fixed. You know, he's going to have her, you know, fixed, possibly. But the risk of it was either she's going to be fixed or she's going to die. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But since they're into transitioning, it really, you know, it's like, and so the whole fact of life, as he's writing about in this book, is just like it's not meaningful anymore. You lived a good life. I mean, hey, you're mm-hmm. you're like 30 now, you know. And then there was others they talked about. There were several different aspects of these different families. One was a doctor, and he was a pediatrician that he delivered babies. Obstetrician, maybe, OBGYN.
Yeah.
And he had a picture of every baby he ever delivered on his wall, like thousands of babies.
Oh, wow.
And but this whole governmental people and these liberal mindsets, they hated that. They couldn't stand these folks. They called them birthers. That was her name for him, birthers. He's like, here you are having all your children. You know, what's that program, like 19 and counting or something?
Yeah.
They would be called birthers.
Duggars.
The Duggars. They'd be called birthers, which just shows you, by the way, just being a family, you could affect the world.
Wow.
And so they were sneaking around doing this article, acting like they were going to write an article in this big magazine. And a positive way, what they're really doing was, you know, juicing him for information so they can just splatter him across the pages. And, but they thought it was negative. What are you doing, you know, promoting birthing all these children? They're taking our resources. We don't need these many people in the world, you know. And it's amazing, the greed and the selfishness and all that. Mm. And, of course, the husband, they had the child that was handicapped. They were debating between his wife and him about, you want to fix her? Why do you want to fix her? You know, I met with a pastor. She's fine. You know, God's created her this way. You know, we love her who she is. We love her.
You say fix her. She sick?
Yeah, she was the one that liked the chromosome and that affected her. Something probably more like that starts with an A.
Autism.
Yeah, more like autism or I don't think it was even as far as Down syndrome. But either way, you know, they were just thinking like there was this whole line of what right's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get him there. And so the wife and the husband ended up having this dispute. But he's actually the speechwriter for this political guy who's running for president, who's running on transitioning people, who actually his company, his biggest supporter, are the people who make the drug that injects into the people that transitions them. And this came out through the whole story. Was the donor to the political campaign. They're like, why is he giving so much money? And why is he doing this? And why is he doing that? Mm-hmm. And they found out he was the one making the drug that they would inject to people that would cause them to fall asleep and just die.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And there was this son in another situation that had an elderly mother. And she may have a little dementia going on, but, you know, she knew who she was and what was going on kind of in and out. And they converted nursing homes. They were no longer nursing homes. They were transition stations.
Wow.
So you didn't go there to live. You just, you know.
There to die.
You go there to transition. Transition.
Right.
And so he's taking his mother there to have her interview for transition. And so she's thinking,
well, he's wanting my son's wanting me to stay, I guess, in this nursing home. She's looking around going, well, I guess it's okay. I mean, I guess it's all right. And he wanted to be a professor. He wanted to go to school to learn how to be a professor. And so she's like, you know, you always did want to be a professor. And so she says, well, I guess, okay. And then she says, I can stay here. And the people who work in the transition department said, no, there's nobody that stays here. Man, I'm just like right out front. There's nobody that stays here. We just need you to reach up and put your thumbprint on this screen, giving us permission to be able to counsel you in transitioning. And she's like, I'm a little confused. I'm like, oh, this is your son.
Oh, no.
Your son is trying to take you out because you're using your own money to live on because he wants your money for an education.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And he's kind of putting it off, you know, kind of. But what it boiled down to, he thought he should have her money.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's wanting your inheritance is one thing, but killing your parent to have the inheritance is hell. And so, so he's just talking to her, you know, and she goes, she's confused. I mean, anybody that's, you know, in their 80s, they've lived life where you don't transition people, you don't kill them. So you're not thinking, you know, my son's trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally she puts her thumb or something on the screen or whatever, and then she starts finding out what it is. And she says, what is this? Well, you mean, what is this? He says, Ma, you know, you're like, you lived a good life and you know, you're suffering and, you know, you're suffering.
Right.
You know, what he's really saying is, you got some money left and I'm suffering having to stop my life to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wanting to transition his mother. He wanted to transition his mother. And the government's supporting this. Because they think, hey, you know, like right now, they're supporting abortion, they're supporting all this stuff. And the people, it's not too far-fetched.
Yeah.
No.
And the issue that these mindset of people who are held captive by Satan is to kill the human race any way you can. Just kill the human race any way you can. And she says, she finally looks at her son, the elderly mother, says, did you talk to Father so-and-so, whatever his name was?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say this is like an immortal sin?
You know? Mm.
And he goes, yeah, yeah, I talked to him. I talked to him. What did he say? And she said, he goes, I think he lied to her and just said something like, it's not. She says, oh. She's like convicted, wow. Going, this is a more immoral sin. Mm-hmm. Just for me to take my life. And just all confused, you know, how evil is that to doing that,
wow,
to your mother or to anybody that's elderly.
Wow.
And knowing that they're struggling to get their thoughts together, and you're wanting to, and the whole thing is, the projection of the whole thing was, take her out, take her money, get what you want. And it was amazing.
Wow.
It was totally amazing. And this other child, I'm going to end this in a moment, but this other child that was his whole life, he lived in a fatherless situation with his mother. His mother had to carry the burden of him because he was like paralyzed. And he couldn't really do much. And he felt like he was always a bother. And he, after absorbing all this information, he, and I'm reading this thinking like, where's the fatherless situation? What's the book? What's called fatherless? You know, I'm like, help me out. I'm getting to the last chapter here. And so, he's saying, I can finally do something heroic. That's how they promoted it. I can transition. I can make that choice myself, and I'll no longer be a bother to anybody, and I can finally be a hero. I can transition, and then my mother's life will be better, and these people's life will be better. And so he's in there about to transition, and his mother runs in there. He's an adult. His mother runs in there to stop it. And they push her back. The stuff goes in. He falls asleep. Last words he says something like, Mom, everything's fine or something. She gets knocked over and hits her head and ends up, he's dead. And so she ends up suing the whole thing, as saying, you know, you should not have killed my son like that. You know, he wasn't in the right state of mind. The transition, that's what kind of provoked everything. And finally, what happened in the context of this was that a little boy who saw his mother lived a terrible life realizes the reason why she was living a terrible life, because he's fatherless, his mother has no husband or father, that she had no husband, no father, and she didn't have anybody in her life. And finally, the whole thing ends with the boy saying, I hate your father. I hate your father. Because this generation, this whole thing came down through, where was the fathers in all this? Where were the fathers that would have stopped all this? Where was the fathers who celebrated family? Where was the fathers when that son was there with that, with his mother? You know, where was his father at? They were saying, get yourself out of here, you know, heathen. You know, don't you come around near her house no more. And where are the fathers that stand up for what's right? Not perfect people. There's nobody perfect. But a father was like, that's crazy. What are you thinking you're doing? That's not your money. That's her money. Yeah, that's her life. You know, you can't take her life. You know, or the father that stands up and says, you know what? This is how my child is. I'm going to celebrate my child. And I'm going to just love him or her for who they are. And I'm not going to, there is no standard, you know, for perfection in regards to how things are. And nobody has a right to be able to do that. But it's fathers that do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you pull the fathers out of the fabric of society, all of a sudden life is optional and people are literally killing themselves or celebrating being killed, and they just change the name of it. And that's what's taking place today. I mean, think about 40 million children aborted. You know, where's their fathers?
Mm-hmm.
Where's their fathers, and how did they get written out of this whole thing? You think about that. And when the Lord hit on my heart, when you think about when Roe versus Wade came to pass in the 1960s, when you know, Sanger came out with the birth control pill, and we'll be playing in the future an actual interview where a lady says, prior to the birth control pill, she says prior to this, most of us were virgins because we were scared to get pregnant. So that pill took people from a place of living a pure life into sexual promiscuity. And once they actually entered into, the first thing they did once there was birth control, the folks that did that birth control, they began to divorce their husbands and begin to write contracts for their husbands. Okay, we'll stay married if it's like this. And begin to just, you know, it is amazing. It's like family just blew apart in the 60s. And it started with controlling or doing away with children in the womb. And what reason why Roe versus Wade happened, because they found out that birth control pills don't always work. And what they eventually did was they had to find somebody to get a case before the Supreme Court, because they that if you're pregnant, you lose the job back then, or you got to go have the baby. And you got to raise the baby, and my life is over. It wasn't over, ma'am. It was blessed. And then they said, we got to be able to take the child in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And so women like Gloria Steinem and primarily her and others around her began to promote. They even put a picture of a lady who tried to have an abortion in a hotel room and where she was dead. She laid on the floor, and it was just a dramatic thing at that point. But they didn't understand. They're not showing a picture of the aborted children. They're dead. You know, it was terrible what happened to that lady. But it's terrible. It's all death is bad like that. But what, it just broke into where we are today. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden, fathers are being blamed for everything. But in the 60s, they were told they were worthless and you are our problem. And they ran them off. And then that's when Dr. Dobson began to say, hey, we got to focus on the family back here. We got to focus back on the family. And we didn't. And now he's writing the book Fatherless. Next one, Childless. And the next one is Godless. Understand, we got to go back and say, and you got to ask yourself this question before you go ahead and throw out an answer. If what God wanted you to do, the God that you say you love and that you say you're a Christian, if what you're doing, he said you got to stop doing it, and you got to go back and do what you said you would never do again, that you needed to be a mother, you needed to be a father, you needed to function in the context of family, that you need to have that child and not kill that child and abort that child, mm-hmm. would you still serve this God? Would mm-hmm. you still serve him if you had to go back and carry your husband's name? Would you still serve this God if you had to listen to your parents and do what's right before? I mean, think about it. And if the answer is no, the question is, what God are you serving? You know, what God, if you're not willing to stop what you're doing, whatever it is, I'm not saying it's whatever it is, you got to be open. If you're not open to repent before you even hear what God's saying, and you've already made up your mind, there's no sense to hear what God's going to say anyway. You've already made up your mind. You're trying to figure out how God's going to fit to you. God does not fit to us. Mm-hmm. We fit to him. We adapt to him. We morph to him. We line up with him. He is God, and above him, there's none other.
That's right.
Listen, if this thing's going to turn, we got to turn. We got to find out what's right again. We got to face the reality. And this is what the Lord showed me. When those women were marching down the street after the birth control pill came and then abortion came, he showed me a whole bunch of women coming down the road. But then he showed me them kind of tripping and stumbling and stepping and down the road. He's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden I saw what they were doing was stepping over their babies that were aborted.
Wow.
And then behind that, down that road, was a big, long trail of dead babies.
Mm.
And that's what was birthed out of the 60s in regards to what we call, you know, birth control that came for the wrong reasons and abortion with Roe versus Wade in the 1973, which 40 million children are laying on that road today. That march that started with what was loose to this nation. We got to be willing to say, you know what? And, you know, understand this. And I'm talking to the world now. I'm not talking to people who say, I don't love Jesus. I don't want anything to do with God. It's not about those folks at all. I'm talking to the church. It's most people, statistics say, right, John, that most of the abortions come from women
in the church.
And so we're not talking about the world. And if you're taking this, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I can't believe they're telling, no. You've already made your choice. This is talking to the church, people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Are you really ready to follow him? Are you really to really reboot into what family's supposed to be like? Even if it means you got to lay down your life for your family and raise your family. And remember, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have a family and have a marriage and be a husband and be a wife and be children. It's a good, even though it may be an anomaly in this society, in God, it is a good thing. And you know what? When we get that right in the church, the world's going to have a plumb line that can say, hey, you get blessed when you live like that.
That's right.
And then they'll start lining up again. The issue is us, the church. We've got to get it right before God in view of his mercy, and we'll begin to see the world change. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFN.